All right, so let's call into order. We got Karen though, right? Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Meeting of, minutes approval will be deferred until October. Thanks for people pushing to do this virtually because I think it makes it much easier for most people's schedules. Any public comments? Anybody else on? Apparently not. Okay. President's comments? Not really much to say. We're just plugging along, I think. One positive with Aurora is we are moving our vaccine clinic into primary care offices so that we get them at the same time as we do other vaccines and while they're there instead of, oh, you need to have it, you need to go too. And then they bypass. So hopefully we'll get a little bit higher numbers this way. Nothing else from me. Corporate counsel?
Nope, you're muted, John.
Okay, I'm sorry, not much to report other than, yeah, just working on the parameters for how to meet virtually and just understanding that really action can be taken only when we have a quorum in person present, which we can still do. Probably need to meet at a minimum twice a year for that purpose with the election of officers and the budget passing. So that's about it, unless there's something I'm forgetting, Jen, that you can help me remember.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for helping make this happen and to make sure we were all legitimate. And yeah, we got the new Robert's Rules of Order book. We will be following that and doing what we can. But yeah, and then if there's ever any other time of the year where we have to make an action on something, we can just hold a special meeting or get together in person to make sure that we can vote on yes. something. But I'm hoping that this helps to improve our attendance.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Then on to health officers' reports.
All right. Well, first, I just wanted to say I hope that you all have read last month's minutes because there was a whole lot that I reported out to a very wide audience of Julia and John. And so there were a lot of details and a lot of notes I wanted to update you all on and some data in that. So please do read those minutes. We'll approve them in October. So today I have a little bit less. Okay, so COVID numbers are ticking up ever so slightly over just the last 3 days in Kenosha County. And so it was a shock enough that the number of cases coming through was kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, so not oh my gosh in the we can't handle this direction, but in the wrong direction. Our hospitalizations are still really, really low. So that is good. And we have seen a couple of hospitalization cases where the person was vaccinated. So that was to be expected that we would have, you know, with the vaccines only being 90 to 95% effective, that there was going to be some breakthrough cases. So we are seeing a few breakthrough cases, but largely the people that are getting COVID are unvaccinated people. We'll soon be offering COVID testing at the job center through our Nurse of the Day clinic by appointment or a phone call so that they don't come into the building. So the reason for this is because the UW Parkside testing has really slowed down. They may come back up again in the fall when students are back. I don't know. I don't think they know quite yet either about funding for that. The Chase Bank downtown KCHC is no longer at that place for testing. They are offering testing out of their clinic. So testing has been really, really down. And we wanted to make sure that we were able to still offer that service to the community. So if, let's say we have another spike, we could not handle that testing through the job center, through our health department clinic. So this is sort of a stopgap in the interim. So if like, let's say numbers remain low, but there's an outbreak in a classroom, we could test that classroom, right? Or we could test, you know, close contacts right now, just not in mass numbers like the National Guard testing sites or anything like that. So it would be a person making an appointment, pulling up to a special slot at the job center, calling us, we would go out and swab them and come back in. So that way nobody's coming into the building that could be potentially infected. So that's how we'll be adding that service to our clinic, and only at the job center, because at the wellness center, there's no good parking out front to get to people. So yeah, it's just a stopgap measure, but we're excited to be able to offer that service. We have been doing lots of mobile clinics, like 6 to 8 a week. Lots of concerts. We've been going into barbershops in the community. And while we're not getting a high amount of vaccination at these mobile events, we are doing unmeasurable work in the trust building factor. So we are forming a lot of relationships, getting a lot of good feedback from the community. You know, there's a lot of distrust for government, a lot of distrust for this vaccine, answering a lot of people's questions. I will say I've been amazed at the candid questions we get from the community when we're out, like at the barbershops. I mean, it's barbershop talk. And, but you know, asking about alcohol, tobacco, and substance use for getting the vaccine. Asking about their own health conditions and sexual and reproductive health. I mean, there are no questions off the table. They are all on the table, and we're the right people for them to ask. I mean, we're upselling our other programs and really talking about other things. So yeah, it's been a really good outreach, trust building effort to get into the community and make these relationships. And nearly every barbershop owner has said, please come back. We've had such a great time with you guys. So, I mean, it's really good work. It's time consuming, but it's been really great work to be out in the community that way and just doing, you know, informal focus groups and all of that. So that'll continue. Here is the plan. Throughout the rest of the summer, we'll do a lot of these concerts and events and being out in the community. We still hope to do a street by street mission. The planning has been slow to happen on that because we're really looking for ambassadors on the streets for us. And then when the 2 to 12 year olds get approved with their EUA for Pfizer, that we have a plan already laid out for how we'll go school to school, you know, neighborhood to neighborhood to vaccinate kids, as well as heavily pushing them to go to their providers. Obviously that's the first line of care. So, I project that, you know, if the 2 to 12 year olds get approved by September, which is what we're being told, we'll be very busy up through mid-October. And then we'll just sort of see. So if cases stay where they are right now, I could see us sort of out of this mobile vaccination campaign by mid-October. Of course, with booster shots, one of the things that we're thinking is, I don't think the health department has the staff, brain power, energy to go back and do like ShopCo type larger things. So I think with booster shots, it's going to largely be a push to providers, and we'll still offer them in our clinics and still we'll get a certain number of people there. We get about 25, 30 people a week in our clinics to be vaccinated still, first doses, some second doses, but I'm pleased with that. Zero advertising and people are still finding their way to our clinics to get vaccinated. So great. Great. And then we're upselling them in other programs, you know, lead testing and back to school immunizations and all of that. So I'm super pleased how that's working at both our wellness center and our nurse of the day clinic. Let me look at my list here. The other things that have been really, really rising to the top for the health department are substance misuse, mental health issues, violence prevention. These are all sort of really bubbling up to the top, and it's really forcing the health department to look at equity and social determinants of health in a way we never have before. And this is all the fallout from the pandemic, right? So it's exciting, but it's also uncharted in a bit in the way that it's unfunded right now. So we're working on how, you know, I really feel like the health department, I shouldn't say the health department, that public health as a career field is on a sea change. You know, we're right on the cusp of a sea change again, you know, much like turning from the 1800s to the 1900s, we went from a medical model to a community health model. And right after 9/11, we went from, you know, where nurses go to retire to being first responders, 24/7 response, right? So, you know, I feel again, we're on some sort of sea change that is really pushing us toward the social determinants of health, as we should. But it's the leadership of how do we navigate that, and what does that mean, and what programs still are important to the community and what's maybe not, and how do we add on new programs with an always underfunded budget, right? So that is what's happening in the health department. One thing I wanted to talk about was just some updates to some other programs. Our home visiting program is planning an outdoor event for their families on August 24th at Anderson Park from noon to 3. And there's going to be lunch and activities and all sorts of good things there. We're really trying to increase our client load in our home visiting programs. And so we'll have others there, such as the LED program and CareNet, Urban Outreach, Fatherhood Initiative with Charmaine and all of that good stuff. So thank you, Charmaine. So we're very excited for that to happen. Lots of these events are proving really fruitful. Also, Narcan, we have given out 106 kits in the last month. And for example, we went to Uptown and Downtown for 4 hours last week, gave out 40 Narcan kits. It's been a really big draw. Went to the medical examiner's office and did all 6 employees there and, you know, trained them and gave them Narcan kits. We went out to Trevor Twin Lakes and did a mobile mission out there, 13 kits. So we've really been doing a lot of Narcan distribution, and it's a really good draw to get people in. And then we can also talk about our lead program and asthma program and all these other things. But Narcan is the ticket that people want to, you know, it's like the free tangible, 2-minute training, and they get to go home with this thing that could save a life. So that is what's been happening with Narcan. We are planning for KUSD in the fall, the school nursing services, and we're looking at increasing services there so we can take care, especially of our middle school kids better. I'll have more on that for you next time. Our LED program is getting an overhaul. We are really going to look at how we reach out to pediatricians more to do more LED testing. 3 before 3 is our goal, and how we better service the community, or, you know, the families, children who are lead poisoned. So between our environmental and our nursing programs. We have recently applied for a SAMHSA grant to better do substance use prevention and mobile integrated health missions, and haven't heard back from that grant yet. Keep your fingers crossed, please. We've also applied for a Black infant mortality grant because we do have a problem with that in Kenosha County. And so we are very confident we'll get that grant. And that won't happen though till December. So so keep your fingers crossed for those grants for us there as they come up. We are going through an early Head Start audit. It's not really an audit. I'm just gonna call it an audit. And we just recently completed a Reproductive Health Family Planning grant audit from the feds, which went great. And so just some of these things are happening to make sure we're in compliance with all of the grant dollars. And we have a new environmental health supervisor. She was one of our former sanitarians. Her name is Lorma Wendt. For those of you who have been here for a while, you probably saw her maybe in the past presentations and that sort of thing. So she is now our new environmental health supervisor directly under Mark Melitic. And she's fabulous, and I can't wait for you to meet her. So we're very excited for that. But then it leaves a gap in our sanitarian pile. So we will hire a new one of those. And we're also hiring a new public health tech, environmental health tech for that program. So we're short-staffed there. And I know I've rambled on. So before I go into county health rankings and roadmaps, are there any questions about that?
Yes. The J&J vaccines. News this morning was more and more issues with it. I know when I did work the clinic, we did use J&J and depended on it a fair amount.
So we still are getting a lot of requests for J&J, and, you know, the CDC is still highly recommending it. You know, we talk about the risks with people. We find predominantly when we're out in the community, they still want the one and done. They would rather have that, and the risks are low. So yes, more has come out, but it's, you know, when you look at 40 million people that have been vaccinated, and I know that that's with all the variety. I mean, you know, so we're really finding ourselves talking a lot about people with the risk of Tylenol and Advil and not wearing your seatbelt, and lightning can strike you, which is much more prevalent than, you know, the risk with these things. So trying to put things into perspective for people. But from what we're seeing from, now granted, the announcement just came out, what was it?
This week.
Was it yesterday? Yeah. I'm like, what day is it? So it hasn't been that long, but we really didn't see a lot of fallout from the J&J after the first clotting issue. So, but we always offer clients choice now everywhere we go. So Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, take your pick. We got it all.
Jen, were you guys at the Pops concert? I didn't see you guys. It was kind of a rainy night, so there weren't that many people there. Just curious.
No, the Pops concert last week we had to cancel because we were worried about the rain and the vaccine and everything. But we will be there this week.
There's a new barbershop on the south side between Festival and Walgreens. You might check out.
Oh, okay.
They took over one of the other hairstylist places that went out.
Oh, okay. Great.
I think it's called Cuts.
All right. We'll look it up. Yeah, our equity task force has been amazing, helping make some connections and, you know, get us in. And so it's been really good for trust building. All right. Any other questions about the whole COVID report and the other health department report stuff? All right. Thank you. Oh,
sorry.
Julia. Yeah.
Just a question on the whole COVID thing. Obviously, we're not doing tons of testing. I'm assuming then that we're also not doing a lot of genetic testing to determine whether we have Delta or Alpha or whether we're getting, you know, Epsilon or, you know, what we've got in our area.
Or as somebody called it this morning, the Tri-Delta is coming next.
There you go. Love it.
Right.
I guess my question is, you know, in the New York Times today, they had a summary and I was looking through stuff and, you know, there's the 14-day change for new cases is up 94%. And yes, predominantly that's in the unvaccinated areas, but the information that I was reading was saying that, you know, it is hitting younger people, 20s, 30s, 40s, they're in the ICU, they're on vents. You know, what are we doing? Are our hospitals ready for that kind of thing? And you know, what are our discussions about masks? If this is out here and we are at a, 45% vaccination rate?
So, the hospitals are prepared. I mean, just as they were last fall. So I think we are okay there. Not every COVID test for the variants. So the state lab tests all, but it takes 14 days to get results back. So by the time we even find out somebody had the Delta variant, they're already out of isolation. So we don't even call them back to tell them. I mean, oh, you had this variant or that variant. So we sort of are only tracking it internally because it just comes back too late, nor is it all of the labs that are testing for variants. So it's a small percentage, and that's why they're extrapolating that, yes, probably over 50% of the COVID cases in Wisconsin are of the Delta variant. Do we have that definitive proof? No, because not every test is testing for the variant. But definitely almost all of our cases are under 40. Like a lot are 20s, 30s, 40s.
And is that because they are the ones that are not vaccinated, or is it because they are the ones who are, you know, are lower on the totem pole and therefore are more likely to be at work as an essential worker as opposed to sitting at home, you know, in a managerial position? Or is it a combination?
Would be impossible to tell that, but the large majority of our COVID cases are unvaccinated.
Okay.
And the whole masking issue, I mean, our recommendation still stands, you know, mask if you're, you know, just exactly aligned to the CDC, mask if you're in a crowd, mask when you're on transportation, mask, you know, we are still, yes, I've had school nurses and districts reach out. Yep, we're still recommending masks for the kids in the fall. Of course, school boards can decide what they want to do, and they already have. So, but my recommendation still stands to mask, and they're unvaccinated and they're vulnerable being unvaccinated. So
we're getting pushback even in the clinic of people who say they're vaccinated and don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah, I mean, I walked into a thing yesterday and not one soul was wearing a mask. And I know not all of them are vaccinated. So, I mean, it's public confidence is lost and all that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think as it gets closer to school, I mean, obviously that we have really good relationships with all 11 of our districts and private and parochial schools. And I mean, we, you know, we'll have meetings again as it gets closer to school to give them the latest guidance and still give our recommendation. A lot has been lost on that. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Just one more thing, Jen.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know it or if they're involved in it, but next week there is actually a racial equity training from the United Way or through United Way. It's a 2-day training.
Isn't that the one through Building Our Future? The REI, yes. Racial Equity Institute. Yes. Yeah. We're sending a couple more of our managers to that. It's virtual and a lot is lost on the virtual environment, but REI isn't doing any more face-to-face trainings for the rest of 2021, which is unfortunate. But yeah, there's and there will be another one, I think, in September of that REI training. So, which also reminds me, and I you know, we hired a public health strategist whose sole focus is health and racial equity. And I had talked to you all about she has done over 75 interviews of all the DHS managers, all the health department staff, formulated a strategic plan for equity, or she is in the process right now of formulating that plan. I have asked that she interviews each of you, being our community liaisons, and I shouldn't say interview is the wrong word, it's just an equity conversation. From your perspective, you guys are our bridge to the community, and your perspective is super vital. That she sits down with you just for an hour and she just, I mean, it's really loose conversation. You know, what does equity mean to you? How should the health department be operating? You know, what more could we be doing? So many of you have had these conversations with, Roger and I have talked a lot about all this stuff, but I would love if you would sit down with Kirsten Gunderson, that is her name. And I'm gonna send you a doodle link. She has some times open, pick a time with her. She'll email and solidify that with you. And really just, brain dump on her, and she'll put together a report for us for the Board of Health. And she's also going to share the report from all the health department and DHS managers interviews with the strategic plan and put that all together for you. That may not happen until September. September's meeting, and then October, of course, we have the budget meeting. So October is definitely in person. So please, please, please make sure your second Tuesday at noon that you have opened your calendar to be in person for the budget meeting. For our new members, that is the vital, most important meeting of the year to be in person at. And so we will, Karen will send out the exact room number. It'll be at the job center. And the presentation by the budget office, our fiscal manager and all of that. So look forward to an email from me about Kirsten Gunderson, Kirsten Gunderson, and to set a time with her for that equity conversation. We're really dedicating resources to the equity effort and making sure we're doing this right. Yeah, Roger, you had a question?
Yes. Quick question. Do we have anything set up like other cities have? In this case, apparently there is a German festival, Italian festival in Milwaukee, and they are providing free tickets for people who vaccinated. And so they can go free to the to these events. Do we have anything like for the Mexican Fiesta or no?
I can
look into it.
Different venues are offering different things. So for example, like Country Thunder this weekend is offering on stage seating for those who are vaccinated or get into a raffle to win a signed guitar by all the artists. Pride Fest in August is offering free things. If people who get vaccinated at Lincoln Park Live over the next 3 weeks will get free Jazz Harbor Fest tickets. So, I mean, different people are offering different free things around the county.
Okay, so do you think that we can possibly set up maybe a booth on across the street from McDonald's on 52nd Street? There's a little, there's a Mexican restaurant, Mexican store, and actually it's two Mexican restaurants, in the store, in the bakery. It's a lot of people coming over. Would that be possible for us to set up a booth in there, and then I can get probably the tickets from the Mexican Fiesta and just promote that, or so that we can vaccinate people?
We are all for that. It all starts with that request form.
Okay.
You gotta fill out the request form to see if it fits on our calendar and our resources, and then we can start planning for it.
Excellent. Okay, I will work on it right away.
All right, thank you. All right, should I move on to county health rankings roadmap data? All right, so the new, every year, for those of you who are new, there is a nationwide group. They just happen to be stationed in Madison, which is right in our backyard, which makes it really convenient. They come down and do presentations for us. They assess every single county in America annually on their health rankings. They use all sorts of scientific algorithms and metrics, and they come up with this nationwide county health ranking. So we just got Kenosha's, I shouldn't say just, it was a couple of weeks ago now, but Kenosha's always been at the bottom. So out of 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin, we're always like number 66 or some terrible number like that. We have slightly improved, and Karen will send out, it's just a two pager with the minutes for all of you, or we can even send it out right now, whatever. But we have improved in two areas, and I wanted to cover that with you. Oh, did Karen send it out, Julia? Or you have it? Okay, great. So in health outcomes, last year we were at 62 out of 72 counties, and this year we are at 58 out of 72 counties. That's the good news. The bad news is it's not for any of our own doing. It's because literally that many other counties in the state are doing worse than us. So, for example, the percent of adults reporting fair or poor health increased by 2 percentage points in the last year. The mean physically unhealthy days per month for adults increased this last year. Mentally unhealthy days per month increased. So our numbers have not gotten better. It just means that many other counties in Wisconsin have done worse. So that's the bad news. For our health factors, we went from 65 out of 72 to 56 out of 72. Yay for 1 minute. And then our story is much the same, that percent of smokers has gone up 2%. BMI has remained level, which is good. Our STI rates of chlamydia has gone down, and our teen birth rate has gone down ever so slightly. But ratio of population to primary care provider, that went up. Let's see, ratio of population to mental health providers, that went down. And that's a good one, because for years and years, we kept saying, you know, there's not enough mental health providers in Kenosha County. Now it went down marginally. I mean, it wasn't a big splash, but it was a little ripple. So rate of hospital stays, that went down for Medicare enrollees. So that is good. Percentage of fee-for-service Medicare enrollees that had an annual flu vaccination, that went up, so that's good. Percent of female Medicare enrollees that receive mammography, that went down, and that's an alarming one. We've always been really, really low in getting mammograms, women to get mammograms. Just a couple other ones I wanted to point out. Percent of children under age 18 in poverty, that went down, so that is good.
I don't get that one. Because my Medicaid rate is going.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. And we can have, if you guys have any questions, we do have the epidemiologist on staff. So like this particular would be a really great example. If you want the details, he, in the county health rankings, he has the background links. He can get into the deep data that, you know, is foreign language to me, but and really sort of try to dig into any of that and look at that. So if you guys have any questions, please email me and we'll make sure that he can dig into that further. Injury mortality did go up. This is falls, largely falls in the home. And so, so while our county numbers look a little bit better, we have a lot of work to do. And so this is interesting just to look at and know. And for our new members, every 3 years, we do a community health needs assessment that is paid for by Aurora. It's done by JVK Research, which is a consultant group. They do phone interviews on 400 people. That's a representative sample for Kenosha County. And every 3 years, we get this community health assessment results. We base our community health improvement plan off of that, but we also base it off of these county health rankings and roadmaps. So we utilize the Aurora data, we utilize county health rankings and roadmap data. We utilize interviews with stakeholders. We pull all sorts of data together to sort of formulate, okay, what is the picture of Kenosha County? And we do this every 3 years. But in between those 3 years times, we like to see the county health rankings and roadmap, because that is done every year, and to just say, how much are we moving the needle right now? And we're not, just other counties are moving it for us. So lots to be done there. So that's my report out on the county health rankings report. Any questions about that?
Are we ever gonna go back and COVID kind of blew the healthy people 2025 out of the water? Are we ever gonna go back and revisit those things?
Yes, so the plan was to do it in August, but I am taking a much needed vacation, which is why I am hoping that we do not need the August meeting, unless you all would like to chat. And then, so the hope is that September, October, we bring those CHIP subgroups back. That's Community Health Improvement Plan. It was called Healthy People Kenosha County, based upon the national, there's Healthy People Wisconsin, Healthy People 2020, that's a national term. So yes, we want to bring those groups back. And I had also heard this all right before COVID of like, the groups weren't moving and things weren't happening, and we really weren't providing great leadership to it. And so we sort of have a new look, and we're designing how we're going to reinvigorate and move toward action on those groups. So we will call you all back to the table in September or October.
Any questions for Jen?
Yes, my one last little thing that I have. Okay, so the county's working on our budget. It's due July 30th, and then they meet with the county exec in August, and then that all gets approved by you at our October meeting. So please, please, please mark that on your calendar and save the date. We need a quorum for that, most definitely. The other thing is we have hired 22 new people since January 1st, 2020, and threw them into COVID, baptism by fire. And so in June last month, we attempted to do a fresh restart on the orientation onboarding of those 22 new staff. So we had 2 half days where it was a gross immersion in all the health department programs and services. Now, I realize some of you members who have been here a long time, you've heard their presentations, you know, for years. But especially for our new members, we need to do an orientation to what does the health department even do, and everything that we have going on. And so what we're looking to do is in September to have repeat the orientation that we had in June for you Board of Health members, and especially for our new Board of Health members who haven't been around to hear all those presentations for years. So what we would like to do is also talk about a relook at our bylaws, not to edit them, but just to go over our bylaws, to look at our legal, John could even answer some questions about the legal authority or perspective from the Board of Health, even though he's always here. Thank you, John. And to look at all the programs in the health department. We also can offer Narcan training to get you all to be trained in Narcan and to be advocates out there for that. And we will have a lot of swag for you. So free more shirts and gifts for those who show up, because you are our representatives and you are advocates out in the community for Kenosha County Public Health. So we will be sending out a doodle poll to help sort of figure out what dates in September might be good for you. And then we'll do a Board of Health orientation to the Kenosha County Public Health and all of that. And talk about some of these things like our strategic plan and the CHA and the CHIP and, you know, sort of set baseline set of everything you kind of need to know. So that email will also be coming out. And that was the last of my report. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you. Anyone else have any other questions, concerns, comments?
Do
Jen, do we have new people on that need to introduce? Roger's newer.
Roger, why don't you reintroduce yourself?
Again, okay, yeah, this is Roger Perez. I've been in this wonderful community for the past 40 years, and very proud of it, and I have accomplished many things. And right now, I have a independent agency, insurance agency, and pretty much is serving a lot of Hispanic people. I will say that probably 90% of the people that come to my office are Hispanic from different nations, not just Mexico. And then the other 10% is people non-Hispanic, and I am very proud to serve this community and continue to providing any assistance that I might need. Roger, I'm located here in the 22nd Avenue and 75th Street by Aurora Medical Health Center, whatever they call clinic. And all I can say is just that I am very fortunate to be part of you guys, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And now I will continue bringing some ideas so that we can continue helping the community.
Thank you. Welcome.
You're welcome.
Anyone else have comments or questions on anything?
Well, thank you all.
So I would say we can move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi.
Have a good afternoon, people.
We adjourn now.